Alright, so you know, the Gemara says the halacha is when it comes to Havdalah, so you can still make Havdalah within 3 days after Shabbos, right? Because 3 days after Shabbos is still Basar Shabbat, it's still Matzah Shabbos. So I figured if it's, you know, it was Parshas Parah this past Shabbos, so we're still in the time zone of Parshas Parah, so Mastam, it's okay. Also, Rav Nachman writes, Rav Nachman says that Purim, he says, whatever this means, he says the Pur of Purim turns into the para of Parshas Para, and that itself brings you into Pesach. So Purim is the Rav Nachman says that Purim is the new beginning of the year, like Pesach is considered to be like an extension of Purim, and Purim is Bechinas Para, so it means that the whole meaning of Pesach is still Paraduma too, so we can still talk about Paraduma. Okay, so what I think we'll speak about tonight is, you know, we'll talk about a certain prat. It's going to sound like a very, like just one minor aspect of Hilchas Paraduma. But I think we'll be able to see from this little prat something important about Bechlal, the Inyan of Paraduma, and zooming out from there, maybe a framing of this entire period, which really began with Purim and leading into Pesach. So we'll see. But we'll start from the beginning. So Marmukah number one is actually the first halacha in the Rambam in Hilchas Paraduma. Okay, so it's the first halacha. So first we're going to see what the Rambam says, then we'll see the source of the Rambam, but first we'll just get what the Rambam says. So again, it's Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph in Hilchas Paraduma. It says the Rambam, Mitzvahs Paraduma. So the first thing the Rambam talks about is how, it's interesting, it's a funny way to start, honestly. Probably what I would have started with, like, there's a mitzvah in the Torah that's called Paraduma, which is that a person's Tameh v'chulu. It's not the Rambam starts. The Rambam starts talking about how old the Paraduma is allowed to be, the age of the cow. Okay, it's an interesting beginning. It says the Rambam, Mitzvah Paraduma, the Mitzvah of Paraduma is, Shetiyah bas sholoshonim, oy bas arba. Is that the Paraduma should be 3 or 4 years old. In other words, not less than that. Vim hois is a kena. If let's say the Paraduma is older than 4 years old, Kshera, it's still kosher, and midrais, it's fine, but midrabanan, you shouldn't do it. El shimam tinin la, we don't usually wait that long to process a paraduma, shematashcher v'tipasal, because as it gets older, there's more of a chance of developing black hairs and becoming pasal. So as soon as the age of when it's kosher, which is 3 years old, that's when you should preferably process it, or in the very least, till when it's 4. But once it's ready, like 4 should be your cutoff point. Once it's past 4, it's still kosher, but it's just very likely for it to develop black hairs. So it's recommended not to wait that long. But 3 or 4 years is sort of your window lechatchila to do it. Less than 3 is no good. But you know, but again, past 4, we don't wait that long. But 3 and 4, that's when you're able to do it. That's what the Rambam says. Okay, huh? Para is female. Yeah, so it's a female para. Now the question, again, we'll have to see soon where the source of this is, you know, because again, in Chumash, we find this, like, especially in Sefer Vikra, where it talks about karbonis, you have all different terms, yeah, a keves, an egel, a par, para, you know, tzayin, I mean, these all different terms, so you have to know what, so sometimes these words mean different species, and sometimes it means different ages of the same species. So para means a cow, but there's other words for a cow, which is an egel or a gala. So we'll see that a para, the Rambam is saying, for a paraduma purposes, it can't be less than 3. Again, it could be 3 and up. Once you get past 4, it's not recommended to wait that long, but it has to be not younger than 3. Okay.
So 3, 4 means
3 or 4 means, huh?
Means
that if you, for whatever reason, I don't know why you would, but for whatever reason, if you want to wait, when it's 3, you want to wait till it's 4, like, that's okay. Like, that's your window when you're allowed to, you know, you're allowed to wait that long. You shouldn't wait past that. Again, I don't know why you would wait at all, but whatever. I guess that's the matzah. Now the Ram continues, and he says like this, V'ein leichin agala u'magdil anaysa. So now let's say, let's say the Sanhedrin find out there's a farmer somewhere that he has a young red heifer that just was born. So obviously it's not old enough, right? So just say he was just born or something. So the thought would be maybe the Bezdin, maybe the Sanhedrin, maybe the Beis Hamikdash should buy it when it's a calf. And we won't process it until it gets older. But maybe we can buy it when it's young. It's probably cheaper, right? So says the Rambam, no, ein leichin agola. You're not allowed to buy. And agola is a term for a calf, like a baby. So ein leichen agala umagadlan isa. You're not allowed to buy it when it's a calf, when it's a baby, and then just wait for it to develop under Kal Yisrael's under the Beis Hamikdash's authority. You're not allowed to do that. Shenemar v'yichu eilech apara. It says that you have to take for yourself a parah. When I was Chazal Darshan, the assumption is the meaning of that is that when it's bought, it has to be bought as a parah. You can't v'lo yagala, not bought as an agala, as a calf, and then it'll develop into a para under us. No. Rather, so what do you do? So you have to let it sit. But then the question is, the price is going to go, and who knows, maybe someone else will buy it, So what do we do? So it says the Ram, there is an Eitzah. Matzva Agala, if let's say they do find an Agala, a calf that's born, that's, a paraduma, and they want to be able to, to market, to take it. So Poiskan Ladamim. So what they could do is they can make a deal with the farmer that will, this is the amount of money that we're going to pay for it. We'll make a deal. We'll make a shtar, even things like that. Viti Eitzel Balel. It's still yours, and you're going to take care of it. You're going to raise it. Achatag until it gets old enough, and asas para, vitasa para, and it becomes a para, and then we'll be able to buy it.
Lay away.
Yeah, exactly. That's the halacha. Now, and then the Rambam ends off, v'loichen oisim etchumas alishka. Where are the funds that we use to buy a paraduma? So says the Rambam, we use the chumas alishka. That's all the shkolim that are collected by taxes of all Klal Yisrael. They're gathered together in the Beis HaMikdash by the Chumash Alishka, and they're used for communal funds. This is one of the communal things. It's not anyone particular that should be donating it. It's Klal Yisrael's responsibility. So that's the Ram. Okay. Now, again, the first so this is all Halacha Aleph. Again, the first part of the Halacha was talking about the age. It has to be 3 or 4, like that's your window. We'll speak about that in a moment. But the second part, the Ram just said, which is that you're not allowed to purchase the paraduma. It can't be purchased when it's too young. You have to wait till it's old enough to be a parah, and then we're allowed to purchase it. So that's the Rambam. Marmakar number 2 is the Ravid. The Ravid disagrees, and or I shouldn't say disagrees, but the Ravid says as follows. The Rambam said you're not allowed to buy. Why are you not allowed to buy it? Because a new pasuk, the Ram came up with a drasha. It says v'yichu eilech parah, that you have to purchase it. You have to take it when it's a parah, not when it's younger. Amar Avram says the Ravid. His name is Avram. Amar Avram, I say, why do you have to come on to new fancy drushes that you never heard of before? That's not the reason. I'll give you a very straightforward reason why you can't purchase the paraduma when it's too young. The halacha is, when it comes to karbonis, right? So karbonis, I'll give you an example. A carbon, it says in Pasuk, you're not allowed to bring a carbon when it's less than 8 days old. Right, you can't bring an animal, even if whatever the carbon is, it could be young. It has to at least wait till 8 days. So the halacha is as follows: the halacha is ein makdishin mechusar zman. If this animal is mechusar zman, if it didn't hit the right age that would allow it to be a carbon, then I can't be makdish it as a carbon until that point. So, for example, if I want to bring a carbon as an oila, right? So fine. And an oila doesn't have an age limit. It could be 1 year old, but it can't be less than 8 days. So could I sanctify it as an oila when it's 2 days old and just wait till 8 days and I'll bring it as a carbon? The answer is no. You can't be makdish something less than eight if it's mechusar zman. You have to wait till the zman is appropriate. And that's true for yontif also. Let's say there's certain karbanas that need to be brought on a particular day of the year. So there's halachas about this. When could you be makdish it? Could you be makdish it too early? There's halachas about mechusar zman. So says the Ravid, when you purchase the paraduma, that's basically who's purchasing it? Not Stamet. We're talking about the Beis HaMikdash. So the Beis HaMikdash is purchasing the paraduma. When they purchase it, it becomes a paraduma. It becomes the carbon of a paraduma. So if they purchase it mechusar zman before its right time, that's also, you're not allowed to do that. That would be the equivalent of sanctifying an animal as a carbon before its proper time to be brought as a carbon, before it's old enough. You're not allowed to do that. So says the Ravid, again, lemon Hashem was that. You don't have to come up with a new drasha that's unique to paraduma v'ichwe lecha para. El Hashem makdish and mechusar zman l'mizbeach. You can't sanctify a carbon before when it's still in that status of mechusar zman, when it still didn't hit the age that it needs to hit in order to be allowed as a carbon. Maybe you're going to counter with me that the paraduma is not a carbon. It's not a carbon. That's a loch and karbonis. His language was, ein makdish mechusar zman l'mizbeach. The paraduma isn't brought in the mizbeach. It's processed by kahanim, but the truth is the processing is done outside the mizbeach, outside the Beis HaMikdash. It's done, the pasuk talks about by Haraz Esim and so on, you know, whatchamacallit, like the Beis Hamikdash, you'll be able to see it, but it wasn't in the Beis Hamikdash proper. So it's not a carbon mamish. So maybe the rule of Ein Makdish Mechus Zman, that you can't sanctify a carbon before its Zman is ready, doesn't apply to things that are not a carbon. Says the Raivin, no, Vizukri Echatas, it's not true. Even though it is true that it's not brought on the Mizbeach, but the Raivin is referencing many halachas in Hilchas Paraduma where we do find that it does have the status of a carbon for many areas. Ukeshem Shein Makdishin Balas Mum. And therefore, says the Ravid, if a paraduma has the status of a carbon for many halachas, then it will be the same thing for this. Just like you can't be makdish an animal as a carbon if it has a mum, kachay makdish an isim chuser asman. So you can't be makdish it if it's not of the age yet. So says the Ravid again. So if we know that the halacha is for sure that you can't be makdish a carbon when it's not the right zman yet, and we know for sure paraduma is called a carbon. So no, so that's the reason why you can't purchase the paraduma before 3 years old, because that would basically be makdish the paraduma before the zman. So that's what the Ravid's point of the Rambam is. I agree with the halacha, says the Ravid, but you don't have to come on with a new fancy drush of yichur lecha par. It's a regular halacha in hilchas karbonis and hilchas kashim. That's the problem. That's the kasha of the Ravid. So comes the Kesef Mishnah, Marmok number 3, very good. So Kesef Mishnah says, Vein ze mochrach. The Ravid doesn't, what the Ravid is saying is not a hechrach. Why? Dimashamha, because if the only issue is, like the Ravid brings, which is, Eim akdish mechus zman, then I have an Eitzah. Kfar hoi evshar sheyichu isagala. They could be able to purchase it, even as a calf. Fulo yikra le hashem, ashatasapara. And they just won't sanctify it as a paraduma until it gets of age. So says the Kesef Mishnah. What's the Ravid talking about? The Rambam is saying that you can't purchase it until it's a par. Says the Ravid, I'll tell you. The Rambam comes with a drasha. We need a drasha for. Says the Ravid, it's a regular halacha. You can't be makdish a carbon before the zman. Says the Kesef Mishnah, what are you talking about? You could buy it, just don't be makdish it until it's old enough. The problem is the Kesef Mishnah is a pella, because there is no such thing as like standing over the paraduma and saying it's a paraduma. The way that you establish it as a paraduma is by buying it. Now, this is the unique thing. Now, by the way, I wasn't going to go into this too much, but it is a good point just to bring out. We mentioned Brisk before. The Brisk Rav does talk about this in Maseches Tzemura. There's a whole arichas about this. The Brisk Rav has about this idea is that the halach is like this. If I, you know, anything that's owned by, you know, there's when it comes to Kedusha, things that are sanctified because of the Beis HaMikdash, there's two categories. There's what's called Kedushas HaGuf and Kedushas Damim. Kedushas HaGuf means karbonis, something is a carbon that's called the body, so it's a sanctification of the body itself, that's a carbon. And then there's a general Kedusha, which is called Kedushas Damim. It's anything that's owned by the Beis HaMikdash is also considered to be somewhat holy. Now that category of things owned by the Beis HaMikdash, that could be many things. It could be real estate, it could be a pair of shoes, it could be a pair of scissors, I don't know, whatever it is. Anything that's owned by the Beis HaMikdash has a certain status of Kedusha, and because of that Kedusha, it can't be used by regular citizens, is halachas of Me'ila, and so on. Now the Paraduma is not a carbon. It's not like anyone goes over and says, like, Harezu Paraduma. It's not like that. Well, the process of Paraduma is, Lamaisa, you have a red heifer, the Beis HaMikdash, or the representative of the Beis HaMikdash, goes and purchases it from the farmer, and now it's owned by Beis HaMikdash. And then you process it, you know, the way you process it. There's no official proclamation. That's what the Kesef Mishnah is like. There's no official proclamation of, like, this is a paraduma. So technically, if you would think about it, so what exactly is the Kedusha of the paraduma? Well, no different than a pair of scissors or a pair of shoes that the Beis HaMikdash owns. It's just one of the things in the Beis HaMikdash's property.
Depends on how you learn the equal of that.
So this is where the Brisk Rav comes from in Maseches Temur, is that he proves that although technically the Kedusha of Paraduma is still of that category that's called Kedushas Damim, which is technically the same status as a table and chair that's owned by the Beis HaMikdash, but within that category, the Paraduma does have a unique Kedusha that's called Paraduma.
Then you can even ask that even until 3 years old,
the halach of Ein Makdish Mechus Zman is always like that. You're limited with what you're allowed to do. You're not allowed to do it. So the point is, though, is that the Brisk Rav does show, and it's not from here, it's from other sugyas in Maseches Temura, but he does make this point, is that when the entire sanctification of the paraduma comes just by its purchase. But it happens to be when you purchase it, there is a unique kedusha that kicks into it, more than just the fact that it's owned by Hekdesh. So everything based on Hekdesh owns brings some kedusha to that object. It happens to be if they buy a red heifer, it then kicks in a unique kedusha that's just called paraduma. But that's all they would have to do. So in other words, again, let's go back into the thing. So again, says the Kesef Mishnah to the Ravid, the issue of Ein Makdish and Mechusar Zman can be easily avoided. Well, how could it be easily avoided? Let them buy it when it's a baby. They just won't be Makdish it until it's the right time. Mm-hmm. Well, the problem with the Brisker with the Kesef Mishnah is there is no moment of like being Makdish Paraduma. The Kedusha's Paraduma kicks in when you buy it. There's no other part of the procedure. Now again, although the Brisker Rav does prove that there is a unique Kedusha to Paraduma, it doesn't come with a with a ceremonial making of the paraduma. It comes when you purchase it. So again, so going back, so basically what it boils down to is again back to the question of the Ravid on the Rambam. Why does the Rambam need to come up with this drush of Yichol Lecha Parah, that you're not allowed to purchase the paraduma before the age of 3? Says the Ravid, whenever you purchase a paraduma, that's making it a paraduma. So, and then there's a regular rule by Kodshem that you're not allowed to be makdish something before it's the right time. So that means that you're not allowed to buy the paradum before it's the right time, because that's when you would be makdish it. Yeah.
I don't think there's a parallel to a yachid to a gizbar, but when a yachid donates scissors to Beis HaMikdash,
yeah,
this kedushas haguf,
kedushas dung,
bedek habayis. But if something's royal mizbeach,
mm-hmm,
then it's automatically, it becomes an ayla.
Right.
So I'm wondering if there's a concern if the gizbar is kind of the paraduma stam,
would it automatically become
an ayla?
So that could be one of the reasons why the Brisker Rav, one of the proofs the Brisker Rav has, that there must be some unique kedusha that's called paraduma. Otherwise, it'll default to an oil or whatever. Yeah, that's a good point. But for our purposes, all that we need to know is that despite that idea that there's a unique kedusha called paraduma, there is no ceremonial making of the paraduma. That kicks in by the time of purchase. And so the procedure of being makdish a paraduma is the same procedure as any kedushas damim becoming sanctified. It just happens to be when you purchase it, it becomes like a paraduma. It's not just a pair of shoes. You know what I mean? But there's no particular procedure for it. Okay, that's the question. But the truth is, I have another question, the Rambam. Maybe it's not as a stark question as the Ravid, but another observation, I guess. Why is this all in one halacha? I don't know. Like, to me, the Rambam should be like, again, very organized and broken down. And it's not like there's only a number of halachas that the Rambam has to be cheap about it. I would say the first halacha should be halacha aleph is, again, first of all, I would really start with the general idea of paraduma, what it does. Okay, fine. The Rambam wants to start with this idea of how old it should be. What I would say is halacha aleph should be the first line, which is a paraduma should be 3 or 4 and not older, preferably, because it might develop black hairs. Fine, aleph. Halacha beis, if you should not purchase it when it's less than 3 years old. And because of this drasha of yichol lecha parah and so on, and if you want to, the way is make a deal with the farmer with the money, and we'll see you in a couple of years. I don't know. To me, it's just more. Obviously it's related to the first sentence, which is there's a certain age of when the paraduma is supposed to be. But I don't know. It's like it's a new halacha. I would think it's a new halacha. So to me, it was bothering me. Like, why is this all in halacha? Like, I mean, I'm not saying it's the biggest kash in the world. But to me, it's like why not make it a new halach? Like, what's? It's almost as if you can't appreciate the first line unless you know this, or you can't appreciate this without the first line. It's like what is it? I understand that you can't begin to talk about the halacha that you can't buy it less than 3. Obviously, you first have to know that there's an idea of a 3-year-old. The paradigm has to be 3. But it's like. But the first line doesn't require the next line. You know what I'm saying? Like, so why is Rambam put this in all one halacha? Okay, fine. So let's put this to the side. Now let's investigate for just a few minutes. What's the source of this halacha b'chlal that a paraduma has to be 3 years old at least? Right? So again, that was the thing. 3 or 4? Technically, it'd be older than that. It's just not a good idea. But it has to be 3 years old. Where is this coming from? So it's the Mishnah. It's the first Mishnah in Seches Parah. So take a look at Maromokah number 4. So this is, again, Maseches Par, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Aleph. So the Mishnah begins like this. Again, what's the Masechta called? Maseches Par. So what should we be talking about? Paraduma. Fine. The Mishnah starts off as follows. Reb Lezer Omer, Agola Bashnasa. In Eglarufa, what's an Eglarufa? An Eglarufa is, Nebuchadnezzar says, you find a murder victim, you don't know who the murderer is, so the nearest city has to bring a carbon, whatever you want to call the Eglarufa, whatever it is, an Egla that's decapitated and processed, whatever it is. So it's called an Egla Arufa. So an Egla means a calf. So a part, there's, for a female cow thing, so there's the two words are para and egla. So says the Mishnah, Maseches Para. How old is an egla rufa? So says the Mishnah, Lezer Omer, agola bashnasa. It has to be 1 year, within the first year. Upara, and paraduma is bashtaim. It has to be 2 years, at least 2 years. The Chachamar and the Chachamar say, no, egla bashtaim. An egla rufa can be from 1 year also, but it can be one and two. Upara bas shalosh oy bas arba. And a para is then 3 or 4. Rameir adds, af bas chamish ksher. The truth is, you should know even when it's 5 years old, there's also kosher. Hazakena. Elish ein mamtina lashem atashcher shalaiti pasal. But we don't wait that long because we don't want it to develop black hairs. So this is how the Mishnah presents it. So again, the first sheet is Rabbi Lazar. Egla, an egla rufa is when it's one. Paraduma is two and up. The Chacham say, no, Egla is 1 and 2, a Paraduma is 3 and up. And the Rama Paskins, like the Chachamim, as Rameir also explains, that it's a 3 and up. Huh? Yeah, it's the same Mishnah. But here's the problem. Why is the Mishnah in Maseches Par talking about Egla Rufa? Like, so where are you going to put it? There's a Lach, Maseches Saita, this Mishnah, it's talking about Egla Rufa. That's where you should put how old an Egla is. What are we talking about over here? Maseches Par, the first Halach in Maseches Par talking about Egla Rufa. That's a Mashiach Talah. So what's going on over here? So the truth is like this, a little bit of a background. The machlokes, the Mishnah describes the machlokes between, I guess when you read it, it looks like there's two machlokes going on. There's a machlokes between Rabbi Lezer and the Chachamim about how old an Egla Rufa is. Rabbi Lezer says one, the Chachamim say one or two. And then there's another machlokes about Paraduma. The Rabbi Lezer says Paraduma is two and up, and the Chachamim say Paraduma is three and up. That's what it sounds like. It's two separate machlegesin. But not really. Take a look at the Rambam in Maromok number 5. In the Pirush Mishnayis, over there. The Rambam in Pirush Mishnayis, what does he do? He explains the Mishnah, anything you need to know. The Rambam in the first Mishnah, Maseches Par, the machlegis that we just saw, doesn't say anything to explain what the machlegis is regarding Paraduma. All he talks about is what the machlegis is regarding Egla Rufa. Says the Rambam. Kasher Omar Hashem Yisparach be'Egla Rufa Agala. When it says in Pasuk regarding Egla Rufa that it should be an Agala, on Rabbi Lazar, Sir Belazar says, Shei Bashnasa. An Egla means 1 year old. Kvi Ikar HaMechubar Olav. How do I know, says Rabbi Lazar, that an Egla always means one? Be'esh Omar Hashem Yisparach, because we have other Pesukim that say that Mavurish. It says, Ve'egel V'cheves B'nei Shana. So you see, other places where it says an Egel or an Agala, it means 1 year old. So that's what Rabbi Lazar says. Well, Egla Rufa also means one. The Chacham say, you're right, that the word Egla usually means one. But over here, by Egla Rufa, it doesn't just say Egla, it says, Im Amar Eglas Bakar. It says an extra word in Pasuk by Egla Rufa, it calls it an Eglas Bakar. And says the Rambam, the Chacham hold that now that it said that extra word Bakar, Yachsa La Bakar, it's like associating it with a little bit older cattle, V'tia Bashtaim, which allows it to not just be one, but also two. Adkan. Why don't you also explain the machlokes about para? All you're doing is explain the machlokes about egla. So the answer is
para has to follow.
The Ram is telling us the following idea, which is that that everything begins and ends with understanding the machlokes about egla rufa. Whenever the time period of Egla ends, that's when Par begins. So all I need to know is to figure out what the machlokes is regarding Egla Rufa. Rabbi Lazar says Egla Rufa, an Egla means 1 year old. Automatically, I know that means after that Para, that's the age of Para. Chacham say Egla means two because Egla's Bakar. So that means after that it's already called a par as well. So what's clear from the Rambam's Pirush Mishnayis over here is that when we're talking about paraduma, para Aduma doesn't necessarily have its particular age be'etzim. It doesn't have its particular age be'etzim. Arkadei kach, that it's not even called a machlekes between Rulaz and the Chacham in terms of, this is not a machlekes by Paraduma, it's a machlekes by Agla Rufa. It's just that once you, whenever the term egla is disassociated from the animal, it automatically is now called a para. It's like the default name of this animal is para. If we have Msukim indicating to us that it's called an egla till a certain point, it's called an egla. But once you remove the term egla from it because it hit its limit of egla, then automatically it's called a para. Now, if you take a look at Maramukim number 6, for example, so the Rash over there, the Rash Mishantz in the Pirush Mishnayos also over there, so he makes this point a little bit clear, although I'm not going to get too much in the Pratim over here. The Rambam is probably slightly different than the Rash, but he says like this, the Lashon Para Mashma Dekshisha Tvei Magal. The word Para indicates an animal that's older than an agola, but what the age is, there's no specific age. It's just once it's not an agola, it's automatically a para.
Why talk an egla rufa? It would seem like the Chacham shouldn't argue about agola being a 1-year-old.
So evidently, that's the idea. As long as we find anything in Torah that can be called with the word agola to it, even if the age is knocked up because eglas bakar, it's still egla. So once it has that term, then we can't call it. It's not pure. It's not, you know. It's like paraduma tamima, right? It's supposed to be tamima. So the truth is, the Mishnah in Bukhari, the Mishnah says that tamima means the simple taich. The word tamima doesn't mean pure in what sense. So the simple pshat is, the halach is, that tamima means pure in redness. In other words, fully red, not with any other hairs. But I guess, whatchamacallit, ichsidish pshat. Tamima means that I should be a real para, pure para. Para duma tamima. It's like, it has to be pure. Not with a hamulat. There you go. That was the word I'm looking for. So a little bit less offensive. So I know you've those are the two things I always hated, you know, growing up. The term balabathish pshat. Uh-huh. You'll never catch me say it. I mean, bli neder, you know, because I hate it. It's like, I hate it. I always did. And chsidish pshat. It's like, okay, you know, fine. But anyway, it's like, if at some point this animal can be called an egla on some level, that's not a pure par. It's not a pure par. So this is the point that we see, that when it comes to para, it's not, you know, it's almost as if it doesn't have its particular age. As long as it's not being overlapped by a different term, then it's always good to go. I'll give you another point. By the way, this is only by a para. Interestingly enough, not true as a par. Like, it's a very, very strange thing, because if you were to ask us, like, what would be the difference between a par and a para? It's just one's male and one's female. But in terms of like what age animal it would get that term, I would say it's the same. But it's not like that. Take a look at Maramukah number 7. The second Mishnah, Maseches Parah, then talks about a par. Because there's other karban, not a paraduma, but other karbanis that you need to bring a par. Says the Mishnah like this. Rabbi Yisai Glili Oimer, parim, when you're dealing with a male par that you have to bring, b'day shtayim. When it's 2 years old, it's called a par. Shenamri quotes a pasuk, uparsheni ben bokr tikach lachatas. The second par, the simple pshat is, the second, you know, the number of kabanas you have to bring, the second par, bring as a chatas. But Rabbi Yosef is darshening, what do you have to say the word second? You count the psukim, you'll see it's the second one talked about. No, parsheni. No, the definition of par is that it's sheni, when it's the second, when it's 2 years old. The chachamim say, I agree that when it's two, it's a par, but af b'nei sholosh, it could also be three. Rameir Oimer, Af B'nei Arbo, B'nei Chomish Kesherim, it could be 4, it could be 5. El Sheim Avim Zekein of Ne'akov, you don't bring it so old because it's disrespectful. But what do you see over here? That all the Chacham, there's no disagreement about this. That when it comes to a par, 2 years old is fine. 2 years old. In Paraduma world, that's no good because it's still called an Agala. So the answer is, so I understand. So a para, it's not called a par until it's 3, but a par is called when it's 2. What's the difference? The answer is, fundamentally, we're talking about different inyanim. For whatever reason, I'm not saying why, but for whatever reason, the Rabbanu Shalom decided there are certain animals that it's an age inyan. So, and it's not related to anything else. Like there's a certain age where this animal is now called a par. It could be called other things too, because I'm Tait, but the word par means a certain age. It means a certain age.
We have that by humans also. We have age, but we might not be physically there.
Right.
So,
yeah, no, yeah. Or it's like, it's like there are certain titles, I don't know, parent, grandparent, those are titles, not an age thing. It happens to be, grandparents are usually a certain age, whatever it is, but it's not a term of age.
It could be a bar mitzvah, it could be 13, and
some certain things, exactly.
It's 12. It's 12.
I'm saying, but the idea is that most of these terms, par, agola, keves, whatever it is, these are terms that we use to describe a certain age of the animal. Mm-hmm. When it hits a certain birthday, it's called par. And because of that, the Mishnah, the second Mishnah we just read, when we're talking about what does a par mean, how old is a par, it's its own standalone Indian. I don't care. So it's also called an agola. I couldn't care less. When it's 2 years old, it's called a par. But when it comes to a para, that's not what par means. Para is not a term that describes this animal when it hits a certain age. Para is just, it's a para. Whenever it's not called anything else, its default setting is para. That's what it is. And so therefore, when it comes to para, the issue is not an age thing. The Mishnah is not talking about how old does it have to be a para. The issue is, when does it stop being an agala? When it's not an agala anymore, it's automatically a par. But when it comes to par, it's not like that. Par is not just when it's not anything else. Par is its own thing. When is the age that it becomes a par? More than that, the Mishnah, both Mishnayos dealing with a para and a par, both ended with the same way, similarly, which is Rav Meir's statement that technically, it could keep on going. Just you shouldn't bring it when it's that old. A para, because what did Rav Meir say? Rav Meir said, don't wait that old for a para, because whatchamacallit, mites is more likely for it to develop black hairs. When it came to a par, said Rav Meir, because it's not bakovedik. One second. Why is that not good enough reason for a para? Why does your mayor have to say because we're afraid it'll develop black hairs? It's not bakovedik to make a para duma. That's old. The answer is because it's not because the answer is because para has nothing to do with age.
Right.
When you're dealing with definitions that are termed on age, so then there's a senior citizen. In other words, when you're dealing with age and there's a certain nomenclature that kicks in when you're elderly. There's terms that we describe that are, let's say in English, there are words that we have that are not numbers, but they're words that are associated with numbers. Young, middle-aged, elderly. So says Rav Meir, when you're bringing a par means like adolescent or middle-aged or whatever, not elderly. So says Rav Meir, you wait till it's 5, it's already, it's an old par. And well, being elderly is not, it's a chasarin in it being called a par. But when it comes to para, the word par has nothing to do with age. It's a metzias. It's a par. It's a par. So why can't you bring it when it's older? Says Rav Meir, a different reason, because it's very likely for it to develop black hairs. But it's not a chasarin. It's not a chasarin in the terminology of para. Para has nothing to do with that, and it's not even a fundamental issue of like having an old animal. The age of the animal is clearly of important to us when you're dealing with an animal that we need to be called a par, because the word par is an age-based definition. So that means the Torah is talking about once a certain age bracket. So when you pass that age bracket, it's no good. But a para was never about an age bracket to begin with. So let's go back to the very beginning. The Ravid has a kasha. The Ravid says, why? The Rambam said, you're not allowed to buy the thing when it's agala, right? Why? It says, Rambam, the chiddush, v'ichu alecha par. Says the Ravid, I don't get what you're talking about. You can't be makdish on it's mechus zman. So what's the answer? What mechus zman? It's not a zman thing. This is not an issue of zman. The halach is you can't be, if something has a certain day, a certain age, a certain time that has to kick in, so fine, then you can't do that before the zman. It has to be 8 days old. So says the Ravid, over here also, it has to be 3 years old. Yes, it has to be 3 years old, but not because it's not allowed to be younger than 3 years old. It's because until it's 3 years old, there's a different title on it called agala, which is blocking its status of being exclusively a para. But it's not a zman issue. It's not fundamentally a zman issue. It was never a zman issue. If in theory, I mean, it's impossible to say, but like in theory, if you could somehow rip off the term agala from this animal when it's a baby, it would also be a para, and it's fine. The issue was never a non-issue. When it comes to other animals, even if they're fundamentally a non-issue, it's not the term par doesn't kick in until it's two, because the word par means a two-year-old animal. But a para only kicks in when it's three, not because para means a three-year-old animal. Para means a para. Para means a female cow. And it's always called a female cow. It's just that until it's three, there's another term that we use in Torah, which is called an agola, which doesn't allow it to be a full, like, to express its parakite. It's not able to because it has an agola term for it. But it's not a mechusar zman dekinyan. This is why I think the Rama puts it in the same halacha. Because to better understand the first line and the principle, the first line, which is that you can't have a paraduma until it's 3 years old, you could appreciate that better when you see the second line, that the only issue of purchasing it before that is because of a new unique drush of Yichol Lecha Para. In other words, because the Rambam brings his drusha and doesn't have the reasoning of the Ravid, that's clarifying the basic principle of why a Para has to be 3 years old. Not a Zman issue. It's not an age issue. That's the Metzius of a Para is, there's a Para. So as long as it's not anything else, it's automatically a Para. So this is the side over here.
Seems like paraduma is ligvo.
Oh, so there you go. So he asked, what does it have to do paraduma? Why would the Rambam start with this? Why is this the first mission of Maseches Parah? It's like, so what is a paraduma for? Paraduma is bimatara tumas meis. What's tumas meis? Tumas meis is what's misa? Misa, the writings of Maral, the Sifra Maral, you find this all the time, that misa fundamentally, Tum itself is fundamentally, in Misa in particular, is an expression of Gvul. It's an expression of that which is finite. Time in the writings of Maral, time is always associated with Olam Hazeh, with this world. Like the Vilna Gaon famously said, Bereishis, Baralakim, the first thing God created was Reishis, was time itself. Time itself is the ultimate prison. It's the ultimate cage. It's the ultimate Gvul. And once you're Tachas HaGvul, once you're limited to space, to time, then you're also limited to space, and you're also ultimately limited in life. So the very nature of Misa is a result of the prison that's called time. That's what brings Misa. If Paraduma is to be Metaris Esames, so then it fundamentally has to be something that at least brings, that's not time-based, it's not time-oriented. If the paraduma would be a carbon that the name para means a particular age, then how is that supposed to be mitaris ames? The whole nature of paraduma is to be able to give the person ability to transcend those limitations. And more than that, and deeper than that, the word para, so what does the word para mean if it doesn't mean a particular age of this animal? The answer is, the word para, vice de chais, is a more shem ha'etzem. It's more of a actual definition of the thing itself, which is always something that's more reflective of life. See, you know, in the Ishbitz Sermon we find such an idea that life is a very strange thing, because we all know the systems necessary to support life, and we know what life looks like. We know the indications of life, but what is life? There's always two things. There's the essence of something, and then there's how that thing reflects itself and makes itself, how it engages with the outside world. When you're dealing with its gilui, with its revelation, with its relationship with the outside, that's always susceptible to change, right? And it's always susceptible. And once it's susceptible to change, it means it's finite, and therefore it can die. But when you're dealing with something that's the etzem, that's fundamental, that's essence. Essence is, on the one hand, very much unknowable and deep and mysterious, but because of that, and part of that is that it doesn't change, it's unchanging. The systems in place to support life can be taken away, but life itself is never touched. In the Rambam's model, we find this all the time, that there's always chaimer and tzura. There's the tzura, which is the essence of something, which is never really able to be grasped and really never able to be undone. It always is. All that can change is the chaimer. So for example, like the example I've given before is like the Statue of Liberty. The Statue of Liberty has a chaimer to it. There's material, right? It's made of bronze? Copper? Made of copper. So it's made of copper. So there's a material to that. You could destroy the material. But the tzura, what the statue represents and the reaction you have when you see it, whatever your reaction is, that's never affected. You could just take away the material, and mimela, you don't see the tzura, there's no expression of the tzura anymore. But you never were able to touch the tzura. You were never able to create the tzura either. All you did was create the material in a certain shape, and the tzura, the essence of it, just now has space to express itself. But the tzura is always untouchable, it's eternal, and it's mysterious by its very nature. The word para is more of a term that describes the tzura of the animal as opposed to the chaymer of the animal. The material, the way it engages in the world is like time-based. So like how many days have I had this in my farm? So there's certain terms that it will describe that type of reality of what it is vis-a-vis others. That's time-based, that's par, that's whatever, all the other terms we have. Para is the term it's about the thing itself. And that's exactly why it's Metaris HaTameim, because that's the Tumah comes from death. Death comes from finite. Finite comes from things that are changeable, things that are manipulable, things that are just chaimer, things that their entire identity is vis-a-vis others. And so once my identity is what you define it as, well, if then you change, then I change. Then that means I'm not eternal to begin with. I was just a matter of time until then my entire definition was limited from the very beginning. It was all perech ba'av. It was all smoke and mirrors from the very beginning. The whole so what's the taharas ames? The taharas ames means to imbue the person with an ability to reconnect to their mahus, to their essence, their etzem, that which was always above time and space, that which was that which is always unaffected by that. The para does that. The part does it. This is why Paraduma is a way that we enter into Pesach, which is Yetzias Mitzrayim. What's Yetzias Mitzrayim? Just as there is the prison of time, which is what the Paraduma releases the person from, so too there's a prison of space, which is what Mitzrayim was. And so the whole inyan of Pesach is, which starts from Parshas Parah, right? Klal Yisrael getting ready for Karban Pesach through the Paraduma. Parshas Parah, it's all revolving on this Nukud, which is being freed from these limitations, whether it be of Zman or whether it be of Makim. But the way to do that is by not just being like super old or a big traveler. Like that's not the way to break through Zman and Makim. It's about tapping in to a part of a person, to the essence of a person, which is their mahus, and that's not defined based on external experiences or realities. Once the person is more tapped into that etzem ha-mahos, then automatically you're free from all these limitations. That's the nature of the neshama. That's what Pesach really is about returning to that nekudah ha-pnimis. That's why Pesach, we talk about like I spoke about this maybe, I think, I don't know if it was Pashar Sagad or Tusha, I can't remember anymore, but it was, we talked about this inyan of like Pesach night is questionable, like when are you, right? On the one hand, like you're not allowed to have roasted chicken, right, and roasted meat because we're afraid you'll bring the Karban Pesach. Like, when was the last time any of us had a Havamina that we're holding by Beis HaMikdash side already? Like, and then we have to make a point. No, Hashtahacha, Lashon Haba Ba'ardi Yisrael. Like, in case we're confused, when where we are, we make that point. Hashtahav and Lashon Haba B'nei Charan. Like, as if there's a possibility of really being confused of where we are and when we are, because that's what Pesach is. Pesach is that nekuda of ultimate Cheiris, which is the nekuda ha-pnimis of the mahos, which is taka beyond that that gvul of time and space. So taka, we have to stress the point. Just remember, like when you are and where you are based on it, because you might taka forget. So that's what he said again. It all begins with paraduma. That's halacha aleph the Rambam, Mishnah aleph and Maseches Parah. That's what's bringing up this nekuda. Okay, shvizecha to be more connected to ourselves, and from there I'll be able to connect to the Rabbanu Shalom and be able to be free of all restraints of galus position. Yeah, Shikayach.
Is it dark tomorrow?